Come on, that's who he is tonight. He's our way maker. He's our miracle worker. He is the promise keeper. Glory to God. He's with us even when we don't feel it, even when we don't see it. We just have to know and trust that God is working in our midst. Glory to God. I'll tell you this, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. Every time I call upon the name of the Lord, I believe he hears me because I call in the mighty name of Jesus. I know he's for me. I know he's for you. Glory to God. He's good all the time. Amen? Amen. Well, let's pray. We'll get into the word. I believe God's got something for us tonight. So let's just praise him and worship him. But let's get into the word. But let's pray. Father, we just thank you tonight for your word. I thank you, Lord, that your word is alive. It's powerful. And I just believe that the Holy Spirit is going to speak tonight through your word. And Lord, I want all of us to measure this against our heart and trust that you're going to see us through and see us in this, God. And we just give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Well, this morning I was reading through the book of Amos in my devotions and came across a verse that we're going to talk a little bit about tonight. But it's really amazing to me. One of the books that's really impacted my life over the years is How to Be Led by the Spirit of God. And it talks about meditating on the Word of God. It talks about believing in the promises of God. It talks about listening to the still small voice. It talks about the difference between, you know, the inner voice versus an outer voice and all the kinds of ways that God speaks to us. And I believe that that's kind of one side of the mountain of being led by the Spirit of God. In Romans chapter 8, it talks about, you know, those that are the children of God will be led by the Spirit of God. And so what I want to talk tonight about is this verse in Amos chapter 3. I'm going to read the verse and then I'm going to kind of give it some context as we go along. But in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, he says, "Can two walk together unless they're agreed? Can two walk together unless they're agreed?" So I'm talking about walking together tonight, but I'm not talking about walking together, you and I. I'm talking about us walking together with God. Now, the book of Amos is all about the rebellion and how different nations and even Judah and Israel rebelled against God. And in verse 1, it says, "O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities." Now watch this. What he's saying is that because you haven't agreed with me, because you haven't gone with me, sin is going to be reaped. You're going to have the harvest of what you want. I've tried over and over to get your attention. It hasn't worked. And I need you to understand. I mean, he'll go on to say that I'm never going to give up on you and I'll restore you in the end, but there is a natural consequence toward doing things that are not in line with what God has said in his word and expecting a great outcome. And again, verse 3, and it's so important, it says, "Can two walk together unless they're agreed?" And so we want to be led by the Spirit of God. We want the grace of God to be the number one thing in our lives. We want God's mercy over our lives. We want God's provision over our lives. We want his promises to be available to us. And they are. They absolutely are. And through the blood of Jesus, he's redeemed us to himself. He's called us his children. But we cannot be of an opinion that I can just do anything that I want and expect God to be leading me. I can't just live my life any way I desire, especially when I know it violates the very principles of the Word of God, and say, well, yeah, I'm just being led by the Spirit of God. No, because you cannot walk with God unless you're walking in agreement with God. And what that means is, Lord, your word is true. Your word is the final authority. And God, I'm going to take you at your word and walk in it. So tonight, I just want to just reemphasize the fact that God wants to speak to us. God wants to bless us. God wants to work with us. God wants to see us walking in a way that is a blessing not only to ourselves, but to all of those around us. And, you know, if this pandemic has taught us anything, it's really taught us that you know, relationships are the only thing that's really important. And, you know, even in a relationship in the home, a husband and wife, or boss and his employees, if you're not in agreement, in other words, if you don't have some sort of pattern or standard that you're living by, it's going to cause chaos. Years ago, this was years ago, I was just out of Bible school, and I was an associate pastor, and I was sitting at a table having fellowship in a couple's home, and the man was my senior by probably 15 years, and so we were sitting around the table, and he was talking about a venture that he wanted to do, but his wife wasn't in, you know, really up with the program. She wanted to take a more cautious approach and all of that, and he was kind of coming from the standpoint, you know, bless God, I'm the man of this house, and I'm going to lead this family, and she ought to obey, and she ought to just get in line. And I turned to him, and I said, Bob, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? And I said, wouldn't it be better to wait and allow your wife to catch up with what God is speaking to you than try to push through this thing before it's time and cause the resentment, the division, the strife? God can't bless that, right? And he was just blown away by that. He kind of ignored it, and it wasn't about a year later that they were divorced. Now, I'm not saying that this exact reason, but what I'm saying is in our relationship with God, we've got to come to the place where we understand that, God, I'm going to be in agreement with you. Because if I'm not in agreement with you, we might be separating. And if we're separating, how far do we have to be separated before we understand that we're no longer reaping the benefits of fellowship, right? It's like a couple that are living, they've been married for 50 years, but they haven't really been close and tight for 40 of them, because at some point they left the point of agreement, they left the point of standardizing whatever their relationship was. And so God's not going to reconcile himself to us from the standpoint of, oh, well, I understand. You want to do this or you want to do that? Oh, I understand. You're a special case. That's fine. No, just like with the nation of Israel, we have to come back to the place where we're saying, no, God, I want to agree with you because I want to walk with you. The cost of not doing that is not reaping the benefits of fellowship with him and having an experience of being led by his Spirit. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want to show you this kind of out of the New Testament, because some folks might say, well, you know, that's Old Testament, and therefore it doesn't really apply to us today. And you know what? That's not really a true statement anyway, because the Word of God is the Word of God all the way through it. Now, we have to interpret the Old Testament in light of the New Testament, because we're not walking under the law anymore, but by the Spirit of God because of the blood of Jesus. But it doesn't mean that what was stated in the Old Testament is bad. It doesn't mean that it's wrong. And it doesn't mean that God doesn't mean what he said, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Even Paul said the law's not bad, it's good, but nobody can do it. So that's why Jesus had to come. But look here. In verse 11 it says, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you, our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Interesting. Paul's talking to the church. He's saying, listen, you're not restricted by us, but by your own affections. And what he's talking about here, your own passions, your own desires, your own walking things out. Again, if our desires are leading us away from being in agreement with God, then we're absolutely thwarting the benefit of being led by His Spirit. And people don't understand that. People, you know, well, I can live my life anyway, and God leads me and God directs me. His mercy is really awesome, but who wants to live on the gray area, just barely getting in? Wouldn't it be best to just come to a determination tonight that, God, I'm going to get agreement with Your Word so that my life can be such that all the time our fellowship is so sweet that we can walk together as one? I mean, that's what I want. I want to walk with God. I want God to walk with me. And I know that you're the same way. You're the same way. Verse 13 says, "Now return for the same. I speak to you as children. You also be open." Listen to what he says now. "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Now, we can take that in the context that we should have nothing to do with unbelievers, but I don't believe that's exactly what he's saying here. What he's saying here is do not walk. Do not live your life like unbelievers. If you want to come into agreement with God, you have to decide that, look, I'm going to walk the way God wants me to walk. It's kind of an indictment on the church, really, when unbelievers, people who are outside of the church, say, "Man, I wouldn't go to that church. They're full of hypocrites." Well, I mean, part of me wants to say, "Well, if you join, there'll be one more," because really, we all are trying to achieve something, to walk a certain way with God. We all fall short of that, I think. But the reality is that our pursuit, our passion, should be in agreement with what God has said and begin to walk that way. So when he says, you know, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, this has been used for marriages. It's been used in many different areas, and it has application, because how can two people really walk together in every aspect of their life if one believes a certain way and another one believes another way? Couples have navigated that, but it's really tough. It's so much better to be equally yoked in an agreement, not with your standards, not with the world's standards, but with His standards. And so tonight, we just want to delve into that. And again, not from a place of condemnation or saying that you're bad and all of that, but just a revelation, a realization, an aha moment. Because again, we can get deceived in our hearts by going, "Well, you know, I'm all right with God. Me and Jesus, we got our own thing going on and we're cool." Well, you're really not walking with Him if you're not agreeing with Him. Well, how do I agree with Him? You read what He said in His Word and you say, "That's how I'm going to live my life," right? If He said not to be resentful, I have to give up being resentful. And man, that's hard on the flesh, because my affection or my feelings and my emotions, oftentimes they want to, you know, take somebody's head off because of what they've done to me, or at least what I perceive they've done to me. But if I'm going to walk in agreement with God, if I want to walk one with God, I have to say, no, He said not to let that linger, and let no bitterness. I have to refuse bitterness. I cannot allow myself 1 minute of bitterness if I truly want to be in agreement with God. And tonight, that's what we're talking about. I want to be in agreement with God because I want to walk with Him. I want to walk together as one with God. And we know that His Spirit dwells on the inside of us. We know that we can hear His still, small voice. We know that He's leading us by His Spirit. But He's always going to lead us in agreement with what He thinks, what He says, what he's written as a standard. And the more that we can come to grips with that and say, wait a minute, if anybody's going to change, it's going to be me, because God has already set the standards, and I want to live by it. I want to walk by it. I want to live with Him. Let's go on here. It says, again, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness?" Again, if we want to be in fellowship with God, if we want to have that communion with God, we can't be out there doing whatever we want and expect God to be okay with it and our relationship to be that oneness that He wants to have with us. Isn't that an amazing fact that God loves you and that God wants to speak to you? But look at if you're in a position where you're not allowing Him to speak to you because your heart is starting to go a different direction, you're starting to part from Him, that's going to be a miserable place. And what we have to do is come back to what He said. Years and years and years ago, I got saved because somebody said, well, God told me this and God told me that. And I thought, man, that dude is just high, too far out there, whatever. But I began to ask God some questions, and God began to speak, not audibly, but to my heart. And I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew through a set of circumstances that God, the God of heaven, the God of the universe, the God who I didn't even know at that point existed, spoke to me. And I want that continually to be a part of my life. And for the last, since 1977, has been a part of my life. But I'm not telling you that every day, man, I'm following correctly 100% of the time, because I slip and I fall just like anybody else. But my pursuit is that I want to be a man who represents God well. I don't want to be a Christian on Sunday and then be something else on Monday. And I think our pursuit needs to be, listen, I want to be one with God, so I'm going to pursue Him. I don't want to live in a lawless life because I can, because His grace has covered me. That's just ridiculous. And not only that, it doesn't create the atmosphere to be led by Him like you want to be led by Him. What fellowship has righteousness and lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? It's kind of like they don't exist in the same place. If I want to be led by the Spirit of God, if I want God leading me, if I want to walk and be counted as one with Him, I've got to be living in the light and stay away from the darkness. Stay away from things I know I'm not supposed to be involved in. And there's two ways to know that, really. If you're sensitive in your heart, and you say something wrong, or you do something wrong, or you're in a wrong area, there's something on the inside of you going, don't do that, don't be there, don't, act like that. We can ignore that. But the second way is if He said it in His Word, if Jesus said something in His Word, then that settles it. And I can't have communion with Him and live my life out in darkness. Come on. We're children of the light, but we've got to continue to act like it and walk like it and, try to live our lives like it, I mean, really, if you're a child of God, if Jesus is Lord of your life, you wouldn't want to do anything to make Him ashamed of you. Come on. And I know He's not up there casting shame on people, but You know, when I was a kid, I got in trouble, and I came home, and my dad happened to be home at that time, and I walked into the dining room, and my dad was standing next to my mom, and my dad said, I trusted you, and you let me down. Don't ever do it again. And man, I wish you'd have beat me with a bat or something rather than those words. But I understood that my fellowship with Dad, it doesn't mean He didn't love me. It didn't mean that He wasn't proud of me. It just mean that there was a walking away of His standard and my actions, and it caused something to be between us. Now, my dad still loved me, and he corrected me. We went on all of those things, but we've got to come to the place where our relationship with God is as important as that, because I never, ever, ever, ever wanted to disappoint my dad. I never wanted to be outside of His favor. And you see, that's another area. It's like, okay, God, I never want to be outside of your grace. And how do we get outside of the grace of God? Now, understand me that the grace of God covers so much in our lives. But if we know what God has said, and we know that his grace has made it so we can have a relationship with him, but we say, listen, I know that God's grace is over me, so I'm going to do this even though I know God doesn't want it done that way, but, you know, he loves me anyway. What you're really doing, honestly, is you're slapping him in the face. And the second thing you're doing is you're walking outside of his favor. And we don't want to do that. Come on. I don't want to do that. If you're born again, if Jesus is Lord of your life, I know you don't want to do that. So tonight, we just have to look at these things and say, wait a minute, maybe my attitudes have got off. Maybe my thinking has gotten off. Maybe I've been justifying some of my behavior, thinking that, well, God loves me anyway. And he does. But why would you want to walk outside of agreement with what he said? Because you cannot walk totally with him if you're not listening to what he's saying, if you're not lining yourself up to his actions. Let's go on. It says, what accord can Christ have with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Glory to God. Gentiles and Jew alike, men, women, you know, all nations, all tribes, all colors have been brought together as one through the work and the finished work of Jesus Christ. But why would we leave that and go to a lifestyle that's beneath our heritage and expect that we can walk in fellowship with God like nothing is wrong? Glory to God. I mean, I'm telling you, his mercy endures forever, but the reality is if I want to walk with God, if I want my heart to be right with God, I need to look again at this whole thing about, can two walk together unless they be agreed? Because back in the day when Amos wrote that, he was writing again to the nation of Israel, to Judah. He was writing to the nations that are around and saying, look, God did all of these things for you, and God spoke to you about what you're supposed to do, and you've just decided to live your life any way you want to live it. And God is saying, look, you know, I will not be mocked. You know, what you reap, you'll sow. I mean, what you sow, you'll reap. And so tonight, I just want to get us out of that kind of thinking, and not to be a outwardly religious person, but to be an inward righteous person. What does that mean? That means we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We've been sanctified by his Spirit. But isn't it time for us to really take stock of that and say, I'm no longer going to compromise my life and my relationship with God so that I'm more comfortable fitting in with those who are outside of God? What does that mean? What does that look like? Well, you know, you're on the job and they're telling dirty jokes and you go, well, man, I just want to be one of the boys or one of the girls. And so you get involved in that. What have you done? You've just left Christ and entered into lawlessness. And you know, the price that you pay for that is that you may have a little better fellowship with those who are outside of God, but you're not going to have the same fellowship with God that you could have. And so tonight, I'm just saying to take a look at that. Again, not preaching condemnation. I don't want you to make up things, but it's like, okay, Lord, are my attitudes right? Are my actions right? Am I believing right? You know, is my lifestyle living up to that? Let's go on. Therefore, verse 17, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Come out from among them. If you know people that aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing or living outside, look at and church, man, we're full of people like this, and it's so easy to slip into. We use prayer as a form of gossip. Thank you for your enthusiasm. But it's like, listen, I called because we need to be praying for Sister Susie. Do you know what she did? And then you go into a half-hour description of what Susie's done. Listen, that's gossip. And it's causing strife. It's causing everything. And when we come and confront ourselves with that, we've got to come back and say, oh, no, not me. Not me. That's not what God would have me to do. Yes, praying for Susie is great, but our heart has to be to restore Susie, not to put her in a place of shame. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's like, come on, let's just get back to being real. Let's come out from among them and be separate, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And it's so easy, especially in this lifestyle, to begin to touch the unclean things. And in the church, bless God, in my, you know, limited time as a pastor, even though it's been many, many years now, it still seems like it's so easy for us to make excuses for walking in ways that we're not supposed to walk. You know, if you're living with somebody outside of marriage and you just, well, you know, God understands. Really? You're justifying yourself. You're not in a place where you're in agreement with what God has said, because God calls fornication, sex outside of marriage, sin. Right? If you're in business and you go, well, you know, I give one bid and then I come in because everybody does it, that's just business, and you don't have integrity in your business, then what are you doing? It's time for us to get back to, I don't care what it costs me, I want to be in agreement with what God has said, because I want to walk one with Him. I want to be with Him. I want His Spirit to be filling me. Now look at verse 1 of chapter 7. It says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In other words, we shouldn't be walking with what can I get away with. We should in our hearts be pursuing holiness. God, I want to be more like you than I was yesterday. I want my life to be filled with you. Lord, if there's anything in my heart that's displeasing to you, please show me so that I can get it out, so that your walk with me can be one, and that we can walk together as one. I want to agree with you, Lord. I don't need you trying to figure my mind out and trying to figure out what I think is right. What I think is right is not germane to the point at hand. The point at hand is what does God think is right? And then walking in light of that. It's not rules and regulations as much as it is, Lord, you have a standard, and I don't want to live below that standard. I want to live like you want me to live. Turn to Galatians, the book of Galatians, and the 5th chapter. I believe, even at this time, and I've been feeling this ever since the coronavirus has hit and we've been, you know, separated, isolated, and all of that. I'm over that, by the way, but you know, we're still being safe and doing what we need to do. But the reality is it's kind of like God has been dealing with me about use this as a time to seek me. Over and over in the Old Testament in Amos, it says, you know, you're not seeking me. You're not really going after me. You're not really pursuing me. I'm just an addendum on your schedule. You're not really pursuing my heart. You're not pursuing what I want. You're pursuing what you want. And as the body of Christ, if we're really crucified with Christ, then our lives are not to be lived for ourselves, they're to be lived for Him and through Him. Galatians chapter 5, and let's look at verse 16. For I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and I'm just going to put a little variance to that. Walk with the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, walk with the Spirit. Pursue the Holy Spirit. Have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I taught a message years ago, and people still remember it. And the point of the message was, holy don't go there. Holy doesn't go there. And if you keep that in mind, well, what am I listening to? What am I saying? What am I entertaining in my mind? And if you can get that little check, that go, wait a minute, holy don't go there, it can bring you back to what I'm talking about tonight. And that is, if we want to walk together with God, we need to be in agreement with him, and we need to make his rule the last rule. So again, he says, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things which you wish. In other words, what he's saying is you can't walk with God in the Spirit and allow your flesh to just rule you and run any way you want to. You know, if you're having trouble with something, man, get before God and get on your face before God. James says you need to humble yourself. You need to weep and you need to mourn until you come to the place where living with God and pleasing God is more important to you, and whatever it takes to get back into agreement with him, that's the price you're going to pay no matter what, because nothing else is as important as that. Look at now. He says, verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness. Now, I've known people, and thank God for the mercy of God. Thank God for his redemptive. I've known Christians who've been caught in adultery, divorced, remarried, and all that. I'm not putting any condemnation on you, but if there isn't a place where that has led you to repentance of some level, then there's something wrong. And we have to say, okay, God, I know even though I blew it, you're allowing me to pick up my life, but I am not going to say that what I did was okay, that what I did was justified for any reason, because I want to be in agreement with you. With you. Fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissonance, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like. I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. What am I saying? I'm saying, look at, if we are even touching any of these things, it should be a warning light to us that, wait a minute, if I'm going to walk with God, I cannot allow these to be a part of my life. I refuse to. I'm not going to live my life compromised. I want to live for him because he's done so much for me. Listen to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, and I want to say it just this way for tonight, but the fruit of walking with the Spirit, the fruit of agreeing with the Spirit, the fruit of being in the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desire. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I'm Spirit-filled Christian, have been ever since I got saved. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I have a prayer language, and I pray in the Spirit a lot. But the reality is I can do all of those things and not walk in agreement with God, because I've allowed an area of my life to be contrary to what God says and what he thinks and what he does. And tonight, all I'm saying is that we ought to take a look at that and say, Lord, what am I doing? What kind of fool have I been? Have I allowed these things to exist in my life in order to compromise what I can have in you? And if that's the case, what do we do about it? Very simple. I repent. But repentance isn't I'm sorry. Repentance is I'm going to take whatever action is necessary to reverse course, to do something different. Amen. And so, listen, if it's such that, you know, you can't hardly open your mouth without gossiping, you know, put the old duct tape across your lips. Seriously. You know, if you can't be around certain people because it causes you to do certain things, quit being around them. Because you need to pursue God more than you are pursuing friendship of other people. And you think, well, idolatry, man, I don't have an idol, I don't have an altar at my house, I don't. Well, anytime you put anything before God in your relationship with God, it becomes idolatry. Your kids can be an idol. Your parents can be an idol. Your husband, your wife can be an idol. See, we have to come to the place where I'm going to choose Jesus no matter what. If it costs me all my relationships, if it costs me, you know, my job, if it costs me everything, I want to agree and be in agreement with God because I want to walk with the Spirit. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want the fruit of the Spirit to be a part of my life. And I want that to be able to come through me so that others can see Jesus in me. Praise the Lord. So tonight, are you in agreement with God? Do you agree with God? I hope so. And if you don't, and this message has spoken something into your heart, don't just go, well, that was a great message. Get alone with God tonight. Talk with Him about exactly what He's speaking to you about and say, Lord, I need your help. But I'm going to make that adjustment. I'm going to make that change. It might be uncomfortable to change. I might have to do things that I normally don't do. But God, I desire you more than I do the pleasures of those things. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Listen, tonight, I want to tell you that I love you. I want to pray for you before we close. And just know that God is for you. He's not against you. He wants what's best for you. He wants what absolutely your life to be the best lived life that it could possibly be. So let's get in agreement with Him. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for every person that's listening to this message tonight, would apply it to their hearts, including me, Father, and that we'd allow you to change us from the inside out. We repent, Lord, of putting anything before you. And Lord, we just declare tonight that we agree with you. We agree with what you've said in your word. We agree with what you've placed in our hearts. And tonight, Lord, we just want to give you all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. Lord, for those that are hurting tonight, those that have physical ailments, Lord, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus that you heal the sick. Lord, you bind up the brokenhearted. Father, that any demon possession has to be voided in Jesus' name. I apply the blood to every person that's listening, and we give you all the praise and all the glory for your word tonight. Amen, amen. God bless you, and we'll talk to you soon in Jesus' name. Amen.